Want to share this morning out of John chapter 12, and I use the King James, and on 1531 in your Bible, in the Pew Bible, you'll find John 12, 1 through 19. The first part of this, it says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany," and that in itself is a sermon, the 6 days before the Passover, because you're right near the crucifixion. Jesus comes riding into town on the donkey, and then he curses the fig tree, overturns tables. There's a lot of interesting things in there. That's a sermon in itself, but I thought I'd bring that to your attention. And it says, "He came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for, why was it not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. And these things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that's been said and done. And we know that the anointing breaks the yoke. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me and give our congregation what we have need of this morning, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled this sermon Central this morning, and what really matters is who or what is central in our life. Who or what is central? Who's the main focus? What's the main focus in your life? And hopefully your life is Christ. Paul said it's not I that liveth anymore, but it's Christ Jesus that liveth within me. What is central in your life? And as I thought about this sermon, God laid on my heart the different ones that it speaks about in here. The first one that I noticed was Martha. And the Bible says Martha was serving. And I see Martha there serving, and she's focused on what she's doing, but she's focused also on the things that Jesus is sharing, and she's focused on what's happening around her. Lazarus is at the table, probably giving his testimony. And then she's probably focused on what Mary's doing, and she's just pondering these things in her heart while she's serving. And while she's serving, she's giving her best. And I believe, though, at the same time, it was a lesson that she had to learn. Because Martha was not always pleasant in serving. She didn't just give her best. She was more worried about other things and other people rather than her own life. In Luke chapter 10, and I think it begins with the 38th verse, Jesus comes into a village where Martha lives. And Martha greets Jesus, invites him over for a meal. Whether it's dinner or supper, it really doesn't say. And when Jesus comes into their house, he sits at a table, and both Mary and Martha sit at the feet of Jesus. And what Jesus shares is the Word. Can I tell you, the Word of God is important to each and every one of us. Heaven and earth will pass away one day, but His Word will last forever. David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Psalms 119, over 119 verses. And it's all about the Word, the Word, the Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will stand forever. One of the things that I've always done, and it really perhaps doesn't matter, but one of the things I've done whenever I gave my resignation at a church in my last day of preaching, I always apologize to the church if I did not preach the Word to them while I was there as their pastor. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. I could have shared good stories, could have shared the 6 o'clock news, could have shared this event, that event, but the Word is where it's at. The Word, Thy Word. And Jesus shared the Word. Now, Martha gets a little bit anxious, and she gets up from sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she begins to serve. But while she's serving, she's not focusing on the Word anymore. She's focusing on everybody else rather than things within her own life. Have you ever done that? You're so focused on everybody else and you're not focused on the things in your own life. I can remember when we first got married and we went to church. And I'm always back pew, seater. I like to sit in the back. And we were sitting in the back, and usually parents with little kids sit in the back. Not that they have to, but we just got married, didn't have any children yet. And this one mother was struggling with her little one. And I'm thinking, and it's just a little toddler, and I'm thinking to myself, if that was me, my children wouldn't act like that. I had 5. Why do you think I turned gray and lost it? It's easy to look at everybody else. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. He said, when you notice the mote in your brother's eye, he said, before you pull that out, you hypocrite, he said, pull the beam out of your own eye. He that is without any sin, cast the first stone. Right? And Martha's there. And Martha says, Jesus, don't you care that I'm serving all by myself? That's her attitude, wasn't it, Pastor? And she says, you tell my sister over there. Tell her to get over here and help me. Isn't that the way it reads? You ever pray that way? Well, I prayed that way. And Jesus goes, Martha! Doesn't say it once, Martha, yoo-hoo. How many times have I prayed a prayer like that and God says, Garrett! And he says, you're careful about many things, but trouble. In other words, you're careful how you say things to want to look good, but you got a lot of trouble inside the heart. You know, we can hide all kinds of things in there. We might look good on the outside, and we want to sound careful, good on the outside, so we're careful how we say things. And he says, Martha has chosen the best, or Mary's chosen the best. She's continued to hear the word and deal with things in her heart. Can I tell you, Martha had a change of heart? Didn't she in John chapter 12? Now she's serving, and she's just absorbing everything. Isn't it? She's hiding the word in her heart, listening to everything, like Mary did. She pondered it, didn't she? Didn't Mary, when Christ was born and Christ was circumcised, isn't she pondering things? And even when the wise men came, the Bible says, she pondered things. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Are you hiding the word in your heart? Are you dealing with things in your heart? Is Jesus the Lord and Savior of your heart? Martha. And then there's Lazarus, right? Can I share a story with you? Now, this isn't about me, and if you remember this, I don't say it just so you feel sorry or you think about me and stuff, but I want to run something by you, and there's a reason for it. April 2nd, 2006, we lived in a brick home, almost 2,000 square feet, and we had a carport, and I had two vehicles, a PT Cruiser and an Aztec. And we were at, and it was a Sunday night, it was 2006, right after church, and I had the news on, or there was an interruption, and they said, there's a tornado warning. My wife looked out the window, she was in the kitchen, and in that home we didn't have a basement. And my wife looked out the window and she said, that don't look good coming. We had a cotton field behind our house and a park, and there was something there. And she said, it don't look good. She said, what should we do? I said, let's run to the bathroom. Ran to the bathroom because we didn't have a basement. Opened up the linen closet door. She got under the shelf, and I pushed Aaron in there, and he's trying to push me out the door, and all of a sudden we heard like a freight train, and Aaron's pushing on me, and I'm opening the door, and the toilet's raising up and going down. And all of a sudden, there was a peace. I said, oh boy, glad that's done. Opened up the bathroom door, walked out, nothing there. Lost our whole home. Lost 98% of the things we had. Cars and all. Found things 15 miles away, pictures of us. And in fact, I had to preach some parishioners' funerals, and I didn't have any clothes to preach it in. I had to borrow suits and shirt and different things. And I don't tell you that so you say, oh, you poor thing, you, or that's what you remember. I tell you that there were all kinds of people that came to us afterwards because they were curious to know what it's like to live through a tornado. Can I tell you back to the story here? Here's Lazarus. He's died. He's been dead for 4 days. And these people are coming because they're curious. They want to know what it's like. They want to know what it's like when you die. Right? And I see Lazarus sitting there. And he says, let me tell you. He said, Jesus said, let me tell you what it's like. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled with the things that you see going on, the things that you hear on the 6 o'clock news, the things that are going on all throughout the world. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, but it's not good enough. The devils shake. They know there's a God. But he says, do you believe in Jesus? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Right? And the reason he says that, he's going to say later on, because I am the way. We just got done praying, thy kingdom come. We're part of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Right? Our citizenship better be in heaven. And he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And he said, let me tell you what else. Lazarus says, let me tell you what else. In my Father's house are many mansions. I saw them. And if it were not so, he says, I wouldn't have told you. And he said, and Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go do that, he says, I'm going to come back after you. He says, you know where I'm going? And Thomas said, no, I don't know where you're going. And Jesus said, well, I am that way. If you trust in me, I'm that way. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, there is a place. And then Lazarus goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither hath it entered into your heart what God has in store for those that love Him. It's beyond something I can even comprehend, but it's waiting for you. And he says, I see people's tears being wiped away. I see heartache being wiped away. No more sorrow, no more death over there. Everything's perfect over there. No more wickedness. And he said, on my journey back, he said, I saw in a distance smoke where people that weren't where they were on the other side. Are you ready? And then there's Mary. Right? That's Lazarus. Martha, Mary. Mary gives her best. Doesn't she? Two things that I noticed about Mary. She gave her best. All God expects out of us is our best. David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord. Didn't he say that? If I'm going to be a doorkeeper, I'm going to be like Fred. When I come in, he sets off my mood. Man, I want to have church. I mean, he got this smile on his face. I might come in grumpy, but when I see him, he just got a smile like nothing bothers him. What a doorkeeper. And then you play that organ. Oh, man. I love it. You give your best. The choir gives their best. Pastor gives us the best. Right? All God expects out of you is your best. You say, what is my gift? Well, maybe the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and maybe you ought to just show love. Right? That's all God expects out of you. Doesn't he say in Romans 12, He says to present, he says, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Right? Isn't that what God expects out of you? Just your best? Here I am, Lord, I'm going to live holy. Tired of the old way. Can I share something else with that? He says, I beg you, doesn't he? Doesn't he say, I beg you, I beseech you? Can I beg you this morning? And if I'm wrong, you can rebuke me. But I beg you, if you're not right with God this morning, and Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, I beg you, make things right. Today's the day, not tomorrow. Tomorrow comes too late, doesn't it? He says, I beseech you, brethren. You know what else I noticed? Notice Judas. Can I share you some of my own theology that I think? I know Judas. The Bible says Judas was a thief, right? And I know. And I'm wondering, I was wondering the other day. This is just my own thoughts, my own theology. If you disagree with it, that's all right. And you can challenge me and tell me I'm wrong and mixed up, which I might be. And if I am wrong, when we get to heaven, you can tell me you were wrong. Why did Jesus choose Judas? I was thinking about that. He's a thief. Why didn't he choose Matthew? Matthew was probably a good accountant, right? I mean, he probably knew how to do the books. Isn't that possible? As an accountant, wouldn't he be better than Judas? Judas was a thief. Can I tell you, though? If Judas would have had a change of heart, God would have raised up somebody else, right? But when Judas stood or bowed before Almighty God, he can't say, God, you never were kind to me. You never showed me any mercy. Right? Possible? God's good to us. Isn't he? I could tell you stories when I was in sin, how good God was to me and took care of me and gave me the opportunity. And I thank God that I'm here today serving Jesus. And then there's the religious leaders. You know, they've got it on the outside. They dress so spiritual, religious, and they talk it. They're known for their long prayers, the Bible says. Right? But their heart is far from them. What matters? We look good on the outside. Looking good on the outside is not going to get it before God. What matters is what's on the inside. Because those are the things we hide. Right? In Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus goes into the synagogue. And there's a man there with a withered hand. And the religious leaders are watching, aren't they? To see what Jesus is going to do. And Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, stand forth. And Jesus says, is it lawful to do good or to do bad on the Sabbath? Or evil on the Sabbath? To give life or to kill? And then he looks at the religious leaders. The Bible says, he's grieved in his spirit. Because he says, and then he gets angry and he says, I see the hardness in their heart. See, God can see right through us. He knows it's in there. We can fool everybody else. You can't fool God. The religious leaders, I thought about this. I thought about Pilate. His wife says, have nothing to do this with this man. I have bad dreams about it. And he says, you know the religious leaders sent him in because of envy? And so what Pilate does, he washes his hands, says, I'm cleansed of it. Cleaning yourself on the outside will not make you right with God. And then there's Felix in Acts 24. He was hoping money would be given to him. All the money in the world. Paul stood there and preached salvation to him, and he was hoping he got money. All the money in the world won't buy you salvation. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And then there was Agrippa. He said, you almost convinced me. Paul stood there and preached the gospel. He said, you almost convinced me to become a Christian. Almost isn't going to get it neither. You got to be born again. Didn't Jesus tell Nicodemus? And then there was Festus. Festus said, when he heard the gospel, he said, you're nuts, Paul. You're crazy. You can write it off all you want. Can I tell you, there's another person, the fool. Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And one day he'll stand. No, he won't stand before God. Every knee will bow. They'll bow one day, won't they, Pastor? The religious leaders, form of godliness. What's in your heart? Right? And you know the last thing I noticed was Jesus. Jesus came riding on a donkey, didn't he? And when he came riding on the donkey, they didn't realize or recognize him as the true king, right? You know, in the Old Testament, all the kings of Israel rode on donkeys. Read it and see. Can I tell you a donkey will do better in the desert than a horse? But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not coming back on a donkey. And Revelation says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, him that sitteth on a white horse, clothed in righteousness. He was called faithful and true. And with righteousness he does judge the nations. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, which no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was written, the Word of God. And I saw the army in heaven that followed after him on white horses. And they were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he smites the nations. And he rules them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth upon the winepress, and the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Judgment's coming. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is he your king? Is he your Lord this morning? Jesus is coming back. For in an hour we thinketh not, so cometh the Son of Man. Now, I say unto you, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither can corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but at the last trump, the trumpet of God, the dead shall be changed incorruptible to incorruption, and we shall all be changed. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds and forever be with him. Is Jesus Christ central in your life? Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that you've given me this morning, Lord, or given unto us. And Father, I pray for every individual here, Lord, especially with the new year coming, Lord, and this the last Sunday, Lord, of this year. I pray that they go into 2025, Lord, where you're central in their life. In each one of our lives this morning, those listening by radio or those that are here, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.